President Trump is getting new criticism after he retweeted a tweet Friday that included the name of the alleged whistleblower at the heart of the impeachment process. The move got a mixed response from Republicans in Congress, some of whom defended the president and others who were more hesitant. But he got fast pushback from many legal experts and Democrats who say it could amount to retaliation against the whistleblower, which they're shielded from under federal law. Barb McQuaid is a professor at the University of Michigan Law School. She's also the former U.S. attorney for the Eastern District of Michigan. Barb, thanks so much for joining us.
Oh, thanks for having me. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. President Trump has talked a lot about the whistleblower, but was this going further than he's gone before?
Well, it is in that he is publishing the name of the whistleblower. You know, I come at this from a national security perspective. And the reason we have whistleblower protection laws, especially to protect those in the intelligence community, is to provide an outlet for people who believe they have identified fraud, waste, and abuse. And if you don't have a legal channel for people to share that information, you are pushing them into one of two other directions, both of which I think are harmful to our nation. One is leaks. It encourages people to go through unlawful channels to the press when they have what they believe is some sort of abuse or fraud or other misconduct that's going on. The other avenue is silence. If people don't feel like there's a safe way for them to expose wrongdoing, then they'll sit on it and keep it quiet. And that also is inconsistent with our idea of transparency in government. So I believe both of those avenues are dangerous for a democracy and for a president to try to out someone who has gone through the proper legal channels to expose wrongdoing is to encourage silence or leaking, both of which are damaging.
Barb, my understanding is that there is not one overarching blanket protection for federal whistleblowers. It's much more a patchwork of different types of protection. What protections should federal whistleblowers be able to count on?
Yeah, the law that protects people in the intelligence community really just says that it permits them to go to the inspector general and says the inspector general cannot disclose their identity and there can't be employment retaliation against that person for going through that channel, for going to the inspector general.
And go ahead.
Oh, and so it would be useful perhaps to see additional protections beyond just the inspector general from those third parties from disclosing their identity, which is what the president is seeking to do.
What are some of the things that meet that definition of retaliation when it comes to these whistleblowers?
Well, it means workplace retaliation. So you can't be fired. You can't be demoted as a result of your disclosures through the Whistleblower Protection Act. But it doesn't say anything about third parties like a president from putting your name out there that can expose you to ridicule or harassment. And in this world of online threats, having that person's name out there can result in all kinds of things, including exposing him to violence. And so when the president puts his name out there, harasses him, intimidates him, I think it can create other kinds of harms that probably weren't considered in the 1990s when this legislation was first enacted.
And I should say that WPR, along with other news organizations like NPR, are not saying the alleged whistleblower's name on the air. We are talking with Barb McQuaid right now, a professor at the University of Michigan Law School. She's also the former U.S. attorney for the Eastern District of Michigan. And we are talking about the fact that President Trump retweeted a tweet over the weekend that had the name of that alleged whistleblower. And Barb, I think the question that a lot of people come down to on all sides of this is, was what the president did illegal? In your opinion, was it?
I think it's not illegal, but I think it's an example of poor leadership. You know, so often what we see from this president are not things that are illegal per se, but violations of norms, violations of good citizenship, violations of morality, ethics, and leadership. We would hope for a president that says, I believe that what I did was lawful. I welcome the scrutiny. I welcome the accountability. I understand and recognize the Congress as a co-equal branch of government, and I will put my conduct before them, and I believe I can withstand that scrutiny. Instead, what he does is he doubles down on his illegal behavior. He circles the wagons and gets his tribe riled up against anyone who would dare to criticize him. And that is what I believe is antithetical to the kind of transparency and accountability that we have in a democratic government like ours. The whistleblower has shared information. That information should be brought to bear in Congress as it's supposed to. We look at it, we examine it, and we decide whether it's lawful. Instead, President Trump attacks those who attack him, and that is antithetical, I believe, to our democratic form of government.
I want to listen to how some Republicans are defending this. This is U.S. House Majority Whip Steve Scalise on Fox News Sunday this weekend.
Yeah, the whistleblower absolutely ought to be known and testify. Like they tried to take out a sitting president. Everybody in America has the right to face their accusers. Mm-hmm. Why should the president be denied that same constitutional right?
Barb, what do you make of that line of defense?
So that is a really cynical trick that he's playing there, this idea of confronting one's accusers. The Sixth Amendment to the Constitution does permit someone who's been accused of a crime to cross-examine the percipient witnesses against them. So the whistleblower is like the person who calls in the tip. The police investigate, and then the people who are the eyewitnesses to the crime come in and testify, and you have an opportunity to cross-examine them. This is like someone calling the police to say the bank was just robbed. The people who testify are the people who witnessed the bank robbery, the bank tellers, the citizens who were in the bank at the time. Those are the people who are subject to cross-examination. And you bet, let's hear from those people. Let's hear from the people who participated in the phone calls, like Mick Mulvaney, like Rudy Giuliani, like Mike Pompeo, like John Bolton. Those are the witnesses to the crime. The whistleblower is the person who became aware of this and provided the tip to the people who are investigating.
So on the other hand, Barb, not everyone in the president's party is endorsing this action. Here is Republican Senator John Kennedy of Louisiana on CNN this Sunday.
With respect to what the president tweeted, look, I have enough trouble paddling my own canoe, but I do agree with Mrs. Trump that, and I've suggested before to the White House that if the president would tweet a little bit less, it wouldn't cause brain damage. But the president does not have to take my advice, nor do I expect him to.
Is there some trepidation here, Barb, among Republicans when they're talking about this retweet with the alleged whistleblower's name without actually saying he shouldn't have retweeted that?
Yeah, you know, I don't know if that's sort of a clever way of trying to get around addressing it head on. You know, Twitter is a medium just like any other, and it's a great opportunity to get someone's message across. But when you retweet, it's sort of a way of kind of endorsing a message without saying it yourself. And so I think the president uses Twitter in a very effective way for him. He's able to pass on messages, but then sort of keep his hands out of it, his fingerprints off of it, if you will, by saying, well, I didn't tweet it. I just retweeted a message, and I didn't read it very carefully before I did so. I think he knows exactly what he's doing. I think there's some things President Trump is very good at. He's very good at messaging and selling and using slogans and shorthand to persuade people who maybe don't have time or expertise to get into the weeds and into the details of things. And so I think that he uses Twitter very effectively. And maybe Republicans are uncomfortable with it because of the sinister way that he makes use of it. But I think he uses it very cleverly. And, you know, the way to get around that or to respond to it is to just make people aware of the way that he's using Twitter. You know, the answer to bad information is more information to provide enlightenment to other people.
We have no idea right now what the Senate trial will look like, whether there will be any witnesses or not. But some have floated the idea that the whistleblower may be called in that Senate trial. Do you think that's a possibility?
He may be called. I would be very surprised if he actually comes and testifies. I think John Roberts is the presiding judge there. The justice will avoid having it become a circus. There's absolutely no relevance to his testimony if he has no firsthand information. The only reason to call the whistleblower would be to intimidate him and to try to have a chilling effect on others who might dare to call out President Trump. And so I think if he's called, Justice Roberts will find him not to have relevant testimony. Now, if the Senate wants to, they can overrule Justice Roberts with a simple majority vote. But I think they, too, want to avoid a circus-like atmosphere. So we'll see what Senator Schumer and Senator McConnell are able to work out in advance to avoid this. I know there have been some suggestions of calling Joe or Hunter Biden as well. And similarly, the only reason to call them would be to harass them. They have no firsthand information about the matters under consideration, which relate to impeachment, President Trump's conduct with regard to Ukraine. And I think Justice Roberts will work hard to keep things on focus.
And Barb, when it comes to the whistleblower's role in the impeachment process, what will you be watching for next?
Well, I hope the whistleblower is protected and we don't see anything more about him or her. That would really be the best way to treat that person. I hope that people are respectful of the process. Whistleblowers, you know, exist. Whistleblower protection laws exist in our country to give them an avenue, to give them an alternative besides silence and leaking, to have a lawful channel to share information and have their identity protected. So the best thing that could happen to the whistleblower is that we never hear from him or about him again. I hope that's what happens.
Well, Barb, thanks so much for taking the time to join us today.
You're welcome. Thanks very much and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. That was Barb McQuaid. She's a professor with the University of Michigan Law School and former U.S. Attorney for the Eastern District of Michigan. She was with us today to talk about the federal protections for whistleblowers and whether the president publicly sharing the name of the alleged whistleblower on Twitter last week may have violated them.